Time for Viewmaster on 95BFM, brought to you by Neon.
Okay, well, we had a good time last week, Alex. How are you this week? Are you ready to roll?
Pretty good. Yeah, ready. So ready. Born ready, even.
We get ready to bid farewell to this big, plump, soggy old stinker of a year. And but a year it's been great for TV.
Has been a strong year for television.
Really has.
And thanks for that lovely segue. Thanks for setting up. Thanks for alley-ooping my slam dunk into our 2017 prize giving.
Oh, yay! I'll just take a seat up on the stage.
Oh, sitting down.
Come on, I'm assuming I'm going to get a prize there or something.
This helps because I haven't actually watched any television this week at all.
Just so
much
out.
Other stuff on. You've got you getting your brandy
zero,
snaps ready.
0 minutes of television.
Yeah, cool.
Just busy ruminating on the past.
Just thinking about the year that was.
Thank you.
Okay, let's come out swinging, why don't we? Let's go. Best of the year. This is the Wire Starting. Award for Best of the Year.
So just straight off Best of the Year.
Best of the year. Wire Award.
Yeah. The Juice.
Oh, yeah.
Franco.
Who would have thought
Franco.
You were going to say that?
Two Francos. Franco.
Double Franco, yep.
Double Franco. That should be a cocktail, actually.
Golden Globe nominee Franco.
Future. What? Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I should have known this.
For Disaster Artist.
Not. Wow. For The Juice.
I'm not sure, but it definitely...
This is like a Denzel Washington Training Day situation, isn't it?
Definitely for The Disaster Artist.
Wow. Well done, Franco. Well done on playing yourself. Well done on playing yourself against yourself while directing yourself.
Yeah.
Like, Franco's whole career is just like an exercise in ego, and I love it. I applaud
He's
him
cool
for
though.
It.
He's cool, man. He does good work, I reckon.
What did we say when we were watching The Juice? Because obviously there are episodes that Franco has directed as well as stars in as two separate characters. Get you a girl that looks at you like Franco looks at Franco when directed by Franco. It's a lot of love in those eyes.
There certainly is. There's a lot of adoration
it
there,
is
isn't there?
So good.
No bad lighting.
The only other thing I really have to say about The Juice that we've probably said before here, but it's so comforting to tune into a show that you know you are in safe hands with.
You also know that after an hour, you're not really going to have moved too far along on the story.
And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I don't.
No, I actually don't have a problem with that either, but you know what I mean. Like, we just got moving before the end of the season, didn't we?
It's definitely not Ozark. Let's put it that way.
No.
Okay.
Okay, all right. I get it. Yep.
The Jagged Little Pill Award for Obvious Masterpiece of the Year, Handmaid's Tale. The Handmaid's Tale.
I haven't seen it yet. I don't want to be bummed out. Is it going to bum me out?
Yeah, it's going to bum you out, man.
Wow, okay, I'm all right.
I was talking about this exact thing at a Christmas function.
Oh, you did to temper off Christmas then.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about the exact same at a Christmas function, particularly with other females going like, oh, it's in my queue of things to watch. But you get home after a long day and you go, am I going to watch Nathan For You or Handmaid's Tale?
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, I'm not really.
I had technical quibbles with it that I don't think should detract from the fact. I don't know why you guys laughed at that.
There's quibbles and then there's technical quibbles.
It was the most relevant and important show of the year, I think. And I mean, maybe this is like trivializing something, but I'm just not sure that it's a coincidence that that show achieved the heights that it did. And then the second half of the year was plagued by, not plagued, but, you know, like the dominated the conversation was, you know, accusations of sexual harassment and assault. And I think that, like, you know, 2017 has been a powerful year.
In what way? The show was as well?
No. The show.
You mean the general?
Bucket. Yeah. It contributes to that milieu. And I, you know, like, I don't think you could call it catalytic, but like I think it's all part of
how
the
many
same
episodes
conversation.
Is it just the one season's finished or is
that's,
that right
that's
is
correct
one,
yeah.
yeah yeah and then how many
one,
episodes
one
was
season
it?
I believe it was 10.
Okay, that's doable. That's
do
doable.
You maybe want to fact check me on that, young Sarah?
Well, you've seen it, but you saw it, so.
Okay. It's great if you haven't seen it, you should watch it. Don't believe the people that say it's a bummer, or even if it is a bummer, do it anyway because it's that rewarding. Okay, here we go. The
10, you are correct.
10, yes. Sweet. The You Know Nothing Award for Biggest Show of the Year. Obviously, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones, guys. Strong. Game of Thrones.
Biggest show of the year.
I've just heard news that Game of Thrones may not be coming back until 2019. Apparently,
is this a writing thing?
Yeah, writing and production, I think. Just, you know, the scale of what they're doing is so epic. I'm actually kind of like, I'm ready to start talking about what a post-Thrones world looks like. Like, what, okay, because like, we've been living in a place now where Thrones has dominated the conversation for so long. What is it like when there are multiple Thrones spin-offs and we're staring down the barrel of infinite extended universes in like a Marvel's Avenger or like a Star Wars way?
To keep it Christmassy, you leave me on like Throne alone.
I don't know. I had to catch up there. That was well done. Would you like to hear a little bit of information?
I'll just have a response to your question you threw out into the ether. Then I think that will all depend on what happens in that last season.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? And once that's finished, then we'll know.
This is the Star Wars problem. Like, regardless of where you finish, if there's still a demand for it.
But it will finish.
You can go back. No,
this version will definitely finish. This version is 100% finishing. They are making spin-offs. Sorry to cut you off there, Sarah.
No.
They are making spin-offs that are being touted as prequels or side stories that have been like sketched by George R. R. Martin but not shaded in.
Because of, you know, the Mad King going back and looking at the Targaryen kind of plot line. There's one.
Let me just
saying, like, a little bit Aryan, but
what about like a travel show with the Hound?
Damn. I would watch a limited series of what the Hound did in between getting his ass beat by Brienne and like discovering him again with that weird religious cult. Like just watching him heal like Wolverine.
Oh my God. You know?
Lost in Hound.
I do have
Hounds of Love.
If anybody is worried about this, they should go and research who the writers are for the spin-offs because they are not. It does not fill me with confidence.
Yeah, but this is the thing. Really? Like Dukes of Hazzard, a couple of the spin-offs didn't work, and I don't think it's probably not ideal to compare a great Game of Thrones with Dukes of Hazzard. but you know, all it takes is one slightly humorous. You know,
yeah, there's going to be a comedy one for sure.
Who would it be? It would be Samwise, wouldn't it?
It'd be Hot Pie. It would be a Hot Pie baking competition. I'm sorry, I stole that joke from somebody else.
Oh, wow. Sorry, I got anxious for more knowledge. And yeah, one of the spin-off writers is responsible for Godzilla Kong Skull Island and Godzilla King of the Monsters.
It's not great. I'm not full of confidence for what lies beyond. But I am super excited for 2019. Game of Thrones, bring it on.
Yeah, come on, bring
Fast
it on.
Fast forward. Okay. The Year 11 Chemistry Award for biggest shows of the year that I failed to pay attention to. It's a three-way tie between Ozark...
Yep.
Stranger Things 2 and Mr. Robot.
Yeah.
I am never, ever, ever watching those shows.
Okay.
Right. I'm saying
sucked
that.
In.
Right now.
Just because time, you don't have enough time? Or...
I just can't bring it in, bring the motivation to care.
Lazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm far too lazy to watch Ozark. I just...
I thought that's what I enjoyed about it. Just kept on just feeding me stuff.
Yeah, because you're a big fan of it.
Yeah, I've heard this. I've heard it.
I was walking around the house with an iPad, just like staring, like just doing all my chores and carry on. You know,
my mother really loved it. She was a huge fan.
That's why you're not watching it.
No, I mean that like I think it's cool, I feel like my mother is the person that perhaps is benefiting the most from the peak TV era that we live in because she maybe watches the most TV out of anybody I've ever met in my entire life.
Boomer.
I kind of wanted to make this segment just my mum's favorite of the year, but the problem is she can't remember anything that she watches. Well, she can. She can remember it. She can't remember the name.
Good for a rewatch then.
Yeah, that's true, actually. She's probably seen Ozark three times this year. Okay. The Paul McKenna Award for Most Hypnotic Show of the Year. Thank you very much. Twin Peaks.
Oh, yeah.
Twin Peaks, The Return.
Well done, yeah.
I've written on about Twin Peaks for so long in the segment that I probably shouldn't do it anymore.
It just could have been such a blunder, couldn't it? But it was just chock-a-block full of awesome.
I was so worried about it. I was really, really, really worried about it.
That tentative first step, eh?
But man, I think just like straight out of the gate, I feel like I was just so aware that I was watching a brilliant act of TV artistry, like of like all time, and perhaps even since the first season. Watch it. Don't do Christmas. Just watch Twin Peaks instead. Okay.
Very weird Christmas.
But no, yeah. Perfect time to watch that would be once everyone's sort of started to nod off. And just when it's just you, you're the only one left awake, and they just click that on, and just boom, and then when they wake up, they just freak out.
Everybody wakes up during the atomic bomb section.
Okay, yeah, what
tree brain
you
section.
Up into?
Yeah.
Tree brain section. Okay, here's the Wong Kar-wai Award for shows that I intend to watch but haven't got around to yet.
Good luck, by the way. Just in advance, good luck.
Thank you very much. The Tick, Bojack Horseman, and Dark. Dark, to be fair, has only just come out very recently. So
what's Dark about? I don't know Dark. I haven't heard about
Dark. It's a little horror movie on, not a horror movie, horror season series on Netflix. The Tick is on Amazon and Bojack.
Foreign, the dark, is it?
That's correct.
From where?
Something foreign. Scandinavian.
I haven't watched it. Scandinavian TV. Oh, I love the Scandinavian TV.
Yeah, it's definitely, it looks dark. okay, here we go.
And the Tick is the Peter Serafinowicz one.
Yeah. It made a lot of fanfare when it came out, and then it sort of disappeared from the chatter, which doesn't make me feel inspired.
Odd.
Right, you've seen it.
It's very odd.
Yeah, it looks really
odd. He's very odd.
The Tick as a cartoon is also very odd. So you know, I'm on board with oddity in general.
Let's do it. If you love somebody like you love a Matt Berry or
Tick's a superhero, cartoon superhero. Sort of a comic book. Was a big comic book.
Surreal and odd and very silly.
He has a moth sidekick called Arthur.
Classic.
And so if you're a fan of British comedy and you follow these weird comedian/character actors around, a lot of people will go to it because of Peter Serafinowicz and then because of the source material as well. And it's very odd.
It's very surreal casting. It was such a bizarre casting choice that I mean, again, odd, but perhaps perfect for that exact reason. It's, should not have been Armie Hammer, should have been Peter Serafinowicz. Okay, here's our final award for the day, guys. This is the Pix Peanut Butter Award for my favorite show of the year.
Aww.
Not the best show of the year, but my favorite show of the year. Great British Bake Off. I will always ride for the Great British Bake Off. It is the best thing ever to happen to television. It is a celebration of everything that is pure in humanity. Everybody is constantly helping each other. Everybody wants to be there 100%. It's not like reality TV has this kind of curse upon it where it's like a condemnation, or is rather a celebration of our failures, or like what makes us horrible people. The Great British Bake Off is just, how well can you make a cake? It's so nice. It's so lovely. I cry in every finale.
But it's a bake-off, so there's got to be a winner.
Oh, there's a winner.
So there's tears.
Yes.
Tears in the marzipan.
Tears in your your pavlova.
I was talking to somebody last night who edits episodes of British MasterChef, and apparently when you arrive on the job, I don't know how much of a trade secret this is, but you basically get given a template and say, this is where you have to ramp up the tension, this is your third act 100%. Structure, this is, got to make a villain, got to do this, got to do that. Whereas British Bake Off seems just a lot more life-affirming.
The season of Bake Off was Noel Fielding's first season on the show, and I was incredibly worried that the Noel Fielding that I know and love was going to be subsumed into the Bake Off flan, shall we say. But he blossomed into this beautiful soul who just, I can't recommend it highly enough. Like, if you can just, it's like the best parts of the Mighty Boosh and baking. It's glorious. It's glorious. Watch it instead of Twin Peaks.
That's a big call.
Over Christmas. I'm standing by it.
It's more Christmassy.
That's true. That's definitely true. So we're going to go out on a track. It would be remiss of us not to play a song from Twin Peaks, given that David Lynch just made the television his own personal jukebox for 19 weeks of this year.
Good taste, though.
Yeah, it's great taste. If you want to get somebody to DJ your Christmas party, David Lynch would probably be you could do worse.
Want what song?
I want Sharon Van Etten's Tarifa.
Okay.
Please.
Alex, thank you for your contribution to the show.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you next year.
Happy
Have a great Christmas.
You
compliments
too.
Of the season.
You
deck
also.
Your halls, fa la 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 la. Figgy pudding. Bang your drum.
Any kerehemete.
Shh.
was Viewmaster on 95BFM, brought to you by Neon.